Stand with me in the chapter, in the psalm that we read together, Psalm 60. And you will find our text for meditation at verse 12. Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. And the title that we could give to this sermon this morning is Christian Optimism. Christian Optimism. I must confess, by nature, I am not an optimistic person. Naturally speaking, I don't tend to see the glass half full. Usually, left to myself, I tend to see things quite gloomy and quite dark. That sadly is the way I am. And yet, the Bible gives us, as Christians, plenty of reasons to be optimistic. And here we have an example of that. Here we have David, recently become a king in Israel, and this is the way he encourages the people of God. Through God, we shall do valiantly. And I think it is good for us to see the ground and the reasons why we should be optimistic. As Christians, of course. First of all, let me say that we should be optimistic. We shall do valiantly, brethren, despite hardship, despite hard providence. And if you notice, at the beginning of the psalm, David begins with a prayer. And he reminds the dark days that the people of God went through. He reminds the day when God cast them off, when God scattered them, when God turned Himself from them, when God causes judgment upon His people and upon the earth, when God showed to His people hard things. And yet, notwithstanding the hard providence of God in the past, notwithstanding the people of Israel suffered hard things, yet David is saying to them, despite all this, despite all the troubles that we had, despite all the difficulties, we shall do valiantly through our God. And David is here referring to the hard days when Saul was king. When the people of Israel were left to themselves, Saul was too busy in trying to kill David, and he didn't bother to defend the people of Israel. And everyone was left to his own. And Saul, particularly at the end of his kingdom, he was very weak, and the people of Israel was very weak in their fighting against the neighbors. And so David is saying, notwithstanding this, though it is true that God didn't help us in the past, through Him, through our God, we will do valiantly. And here is David preparing the armies, the host of Israel, for the battle. And he's saying to them, in the past things were hard. In the past we did not enjoy the blessing of God. But through God now, we shall do valiantly. And this is true for us as individuals. We might have experienced in God's wisdom and providence hard days. Maybe we have been not faithful as we should. Maybe we have not been serving God the way we ought. Maybe we have not been valiant Christians, brave and courageous Christians. Maybe we have been backsliding and doing very poorly in the things of God. But here is the encouragement for us. Through God, we shall do valiantly. As individuals, it doesn't matter how hard was our past. It doesn't matter how many bad things we have seen in our lives. Through God, we shall do valiantly. God will work in us and for us. God will sanctify us. And it doesn't matter how weak and backsliding we have been in the past. God will sanctify us. And God will make us the men and women that He would have us be. Not in our strength, not in our giving up, but through God. You and I, by God's wonderful mercy, we will do valiantly. We will do valiantly. Not just as Christians, but as unconverted people. Maybe you have tried to be faithful to God. Maybe you tried to save your soul. Maybe you tried to obey God and to be at peace with Him. And you failed. What you have seen when you look back in your experience, it's failure. Failure. But through God, you can do valiantly. Through God, your sins can be taken away. Through God, your heart can be changed. Through God, your will can be turned. Through God, we shall do valiantly. And now, in us, we have no strength to resist sin. In us, we have no strength to resist temptation. And as we have no strength to do what is right, but through God, we shall do valiantly. As individuals, but also as a church, as a congregation, as a denomination, as ministers and servants of God, we shall do valiantly. And it's true that as a church, as a congregation, we have seen hard things. It's true that for many years now, the Church of Christ in Scotland has seen no blessing. It seems to many of us that God has cast us off. It seems to us that God has almost abandoned us to ourselves in the hands of our enemies. And it's very easy for us to be discouraged, to be worried, to be concerned about the past, and to give up. Through God, we shall do valiantly. It doesn't matter how weak we were and how weak we are. Through God, not in our abilities, not in our confession or in our faithfulness, but through God, we shall do valiantly. Despite the hard times that we have, despite all the mistakes that we might make, despite all wrong things in our lives, we shall do valiantly. What an encouragement for us. A little congregation in an ungodly nation when people don't care about the gospel, and yet we shall do valiantly. We shall do valiantly. I find this as a minister a great encouragement. A great encouragement. So despite hardship, let us be optimistic. We shall do valiantly. Secondly, we shall do valiantly in the face of our enemies. And the context of this psalm is after a victory, and yet there are more wars to come. David speaks in verse 9, "Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom?" David has had victorious time recently. 12,000 people were killed of his enemies. But there is more battles in front of him. His army has not yet reached a time of peace. They have to fight more. They need to fight more. More troubles, more difficulties are in front of them. And to them, in the face of a war, he says to them, "Notwithstanding our hard days, and in the face of all our enemies, we shall do valiantly." And I want you to notice, David is not talking in a time of revival. He's not talking when Israel is a mighty power in the region. And yet he can say to his army, "We shall do valiantly through our God." It's very easy for us to speak of we shall do great things for God, when God is pouring out the Spirit and doing great things for us already. It would be very easy for us, if we were in the great revivals of Jonathan Edwards, to say, oh, the Lord will do great things for us. Let us be valiant, we'll be courageous and strong for God. It's very easy to be brave then. But what about be strong when we are frail? And when our enemies are strong. In this context, when he is challenged by a strong city, by a strong army, David is able to say, we shall do valiantly. In the face of all our enemies, it doesn't matter how strong they are, it doesn't matter how many they are, in their face, we have the victory. We shall prosper. As individuals, as church, we shall prosper. We shall do valiantly. It doesn't matter how many enemies and how strong our enemies are. And how wonderful it is as individuals. We have mighty enemies against us. The powers of hell are against us. The devil and all his deceiving plans and all his wicked servants are against us. An ungodly world is constantly tempting us, causing us to fail. Our depraved heart is against us. And yet, in the face of all this, we shall do valiantly through our God. Our God is stronger than the devil. Our God is stronger than the whole world. Our God is stronger than our wicked heart. And because of Him, notwithstanding our enemies, we shall do valiantly. And again, this is true as church, as a congregation, as well as a denomination. In the face of all difficulties, in the face of many wicked and determined enemies, we shall do valiantly, brethren. In the face of Islam, we shall do valiantly. In the face of the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church, we shall do valiantly. In the face of an ungodly civil magistrate, we shall do valiantly. In the face of false religion, we shall do valiantly. Let us not be afraid of them. Let us not be afraid of Islam and false religion. Through God, through Him, with His help, we shall do great things for our God. And the problem is when we as Christians are so afraid of what's all around us and we don't understand the one who is for us. I remember when I was in Sardinia, people often saying, when God is on our side, we are the majority. It doesn't matter how few we are in numbers. If God is on our side, we are on the winning side. Oh, brethren, here is the encouragement for us. Here is reasons for us to be optimistic. Despite all the hardness and the face of all our enemies, but thirdly, whatever the cost is, we shall do valiantly. Whatever price we have to pay for, we shall do valiantly for our God. David is not speaking after a war. David is speaking, yes, after, but also before a war. And so a war is a very expensive business. Not just about finances and money, but it costs lives. It costs people. And when a king leads an army to a war, he knows that some of his people, many of his people, maybe the best of his people, could be lost. And yet he says to them, before they could be dead, we shall do valiantly through our God. It doesn't matter how costly it is. It doesn't matter how many of us will die. It doesn't matter how difficult it will be. We shall pay the price and we shall do valiantly through our God. What a calling it is before us. Oh, yes, there is a wonderful future for the church. Yes, God has promised to bless His people, to establish His kingdom. But there is a cost to pay. There is a cost to pay. And David is saying, whatever the cost, we shall do valiantly. And what the church needs today is brave Christians. Christians, ministers, missionaries, men particularly, that are willing to pray, to pay the price of what it cost to do valiantly for our God. Or for men like this in our church. We shall do valiantly whatever the cost. Fourthly, we shall do valiantly because of God. Because of God. David says, through God we shall do valiantly. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Why shall we prosper? Why is it possible for David to say to a little army who has to fight against a strong city, why can he say, we shall do valiantly? Why, and despite hardship, why in the face of great enemies, why can he say, we shall do valiantly? Because of God. His hope was not in man, for vain is the help of man. His hope and trust was in the Lord. And if our trust in the Lord, if we believe in God, if He is our hope, then we shall do valiantly. If we trust in ourselves, if we trust in our abilities, if we trust in our works, if we trust in our well-doing, if we trust in our church, in our confession, in our creed, in our faithfulness, we will fail. But if we trust in God, we shall do valiantly. God and His love. Look what he says in verse 5. This is what David praying, that thy beloved may be delivered. Here is David arguing with God. And he says, God, because of you love us, because of the love that you have for us, deliver us. Deliver us. And therefore he trusts that God loves the people of Israel. And because of the love that God has for His people, He can say to the people, God is on our side. You are the beloved of God. God will not leave us. God will not abandon us. God will help us. He will deliver us. God will fight for us because He loves us. He has affections for us. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. And we will do valiantly. The God of heaven, the Almighty God, loves His people. He loves His church. And He is on your side because He loves you, Christian. But also, because of God and His kingship. We might have great love, but if we have no power, no authority, our love is unfruitful. It's fruitless. But God is Lord. God is King. The one who is on our side is not just a caring and gracious God. The one who is on our side is Lord. In verse 6, 7 and 8, He calls Himself as the one who is Lord over Israel, over His people, but also over the nations. He is Lord. He rules over the nation. He has power to defeat His enemies. He has the authority to bring them down. They might look very strong. They might be very big in number and strong. And yet God is over them. And God has power over them. Therefore, we shall do valiantly. Think of the one who is on our side, Christian. In your personal fight against sin, in your personal fight for holiness, who is on your side? Your minister? No. The congregation? No. God is on your side. As you fight against temptation, as you try to resist sin and to be faithful to God, Christian, God, the Almighty, the Lord is on your side. The Almighty God, the Eternal God, the Infinite, Unchangeable God, He is on your side. You have nothing to fear. If you trust in Him, you will do valiantly. But also as a church. Jesus, before He left this world, before He went up to heaven, as He sent His people, His disciples, His apostles, to preach the gospel and establish the church, He said to them, I have all authority in heaven and in earth. And so as a church, here we are, a little congregation against a mighty enemy. Against an ungodly society. An unwilling people. But who is on our side? The Westminster Confession of Faith? The Puritans? Who is on our side? King Jesus is on our side. And our enemies might be many. They might have many weapons in their hands. But if Jesus is with us, who can be against us? We shall do valiantly, not because we are faithful, not because we are a great church. We shall do valiantly because the Almighty Sovereign God is on our side. The God of heaven is on our side. A God who loves us. But also, we shall do valiantly because God and His decree. God and His decrees. Notice what He says in verse 6. God hath spoken. God hath spoken. God has decreed this. God has decreed the future of His people. God has decreed the borders of His people. God has decreed the defeat of His enemy. He has established the future of His church. The prosperity and the building of His church is God's decree. And therefore we shall do valiantly. Remember the word of Christ. I will build my church. He will do it. Not me, not you, not the General Assembly, but Christ will build His church. He will fight for His people. He will deliver His people from all their enemies. He will fight for us. He will stretch forth His hand for His people. If you look at the book of Acts, that we call the Acts of the Apostles, if we are honest, it's not their acts. It is the acts of Christ through the Holy Spirit that built the church at Pentecost. That put the world upside down. It was Christ working through His Spirit in the midst of His people. So why is the minister saying that the church will do valiantly? Why? I don't have a vision. I haven't seen any good things happening. What I'm saying is because God has spoken thus. God has spoken. He will build His church. The God of heaven, the one who has all authority, the one who has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, has promised and decreed that He will build His church. He will build His people as individuals, as congregation, as a visible church. And therefore David could say to this army, maybe afraid, maybe discouraged, we shall do valiantly because God has spoken. Because God has spoken. And so the Apostle Paul could write to the Romans that God's people will be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. This is what we are, brethren, as individuals, as a church, more than conquerors. More than conquerors. But also, we shall do valiantly because God and His truth. His truth. This is what David speaks of in verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed Because of the truth. The truth of God is our banner. The truth of God is our only weapon. God's will as it is revealed in His Word. The Word of God, which is truth, is our weapon. And if we use this truth carefully and faithfully, if we depend on God's truth, not in the truth of man, not in the power of man, but in God's ways, if we fight God according to His ways, we shall do valiantly. We shall do valiantly. Not our understanding, not our doing, but God. Can you see the emphasis is in God? He is our help. But more than that, David says, as he encourages the army, we shall do valiantly because of God and His past work. In the introduction of the psalm, David refers to past victories that God gave to His people. And he's using this to teach, he says, to teach them. And very often, in the book of the Psalms, you will find the psalmist going back to God's past blessing to encourage himself and the people. God has delivered us in the past. He will do it again. God has stretched forth His arm in the past to save us. He will do it again. Don't be discouraged, my soul. Look back at the many times that God was merciful to you. And so it is with us. You look in your Christian experience and you say, will I do valiantly, minister? If you trust in God, you will. Look back the many times that God helped you. Look back the many times that God has given you strength to resist sin. The many times that God has forgiven all your sins, that God has helped you through. Look back all the good providence of God in your life. And there you find hope for the future. The God of the future is the same God who blessed in the past. He has no change. His love for you has no change. His power has no change. God is still the same. And His thoughts for His people are still thoughts of peace and love. And the same as our church. I don't like to live in the past. I think as a church we should be looking forward. Always forward. What we can do for God. But there are encouragements when we look back in the past. When we look at the ways that God has worked in His people, among His people, in a wonderful way. God can do this thing today. God has changed this nation in a twinkle of an eye in 1600. He can do this again today. When Reformation came to Scotland, when John Knox started preaching the truth, this nation was in darkness. Was a nation under superstition. Was not better than today. And God was pleased to pour out His Spirit and to bless His servant. And His servants did valiantly through Him. And so God can do this today. As He did in the past. He can still bless us. And His past help is an assurance for us that God will help us also in the future. But also David encourages the Israelites to do valiantly because God and His help. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. For He will do it. For God will help us. What a promise it is before us. You think of sanctification as something that you do. You think about fighting with your sin as something that you do. And you don't realize that sanctification is God's work. It's not an act. But it is a work that God does in His people. It's God saving us, believers. God is still saving us. His salvation is not accomplished yet. He is still saving us. And blessed be God. We shall be whole at the end because God will work in us. You shall do valiantly. You shall be a perfect Christian in heaven one day, because God is working for you and within you. But also as a congregation, as a church, we shall do valiantly, because God is going to stretch forth His arm and doing wonders. I don't know when. I don't know if I will see this. But God has promised. God has spoken. He will build His church. He will establish His kingdom. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe our eyes will never see it, but God will do it. Why will the church do valiantly? Why do we have to be strong and brave? Why can we go and preach in the face of our enemies? Why do people leave their homes and become missionaries? Why? Because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? The Lord Jehovah is on our side. Our God, not just a God, not a mighty God is with us, but our God. We are His people. He loves us with an everlasting love, an unchangeable love. And all His power, His Spirit, is with us, helping us. As I said, I'm not an optimistic by nature. But through God, brethren, we shall do valiantly. Let's throw away all your gloominess and all your darkness and all your sadness with God, brethren. And through His help, we shall do valiantly.